is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Ukraine war. The Congress has moved. The weapon systems are said to be in train and more. Headlines from London, however, warn there is speed needed. Zelensky demands U.S. speeds up weapon shipments to halt Russia. In Moscow, Russia to show off captured Western vehicles during Victory Day celebrations. In London, Ukraine defeat would cost the West trillions of dollars, warns the former Armed Forces Minister of the UK government. Kyiv, Ukraine's battlefield position has worsened, according to the Army Chief of Staff. Poland, Warsaw, why should I return to fight? Ukrainian men living abroad say. Poland, Warsaw, Poland considers deporting draft age men from Ukraine. At the same time, Kyiv, Ukraine withdraws Abrams tanks from frontline amid barrage of drone attacks. And Ukrainian drones strike oil refineries and airfield in major overnight attack. And from NATO, UK and US aid for Ukraine should inspire others to do more. This according to Estonia's Iron Lady, Kaja Kallas. We welcome John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Bill Raggio joins me as my colleague and co-host. Mr. Hardy, there's a lot of movement out there. I want to begin with this weapons systems shipping and Mr. Zelensky's request to speed it up. Is it being sped up to your understanding? Good evening to you, John.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. Well, so following the long-delayed passage of the Ukraine aid supplemental bill, new aid deliveries under so-called presidential drawdown authority, where we take munitions and weapons from our own stocks and ship them over to Ukraine, that has resumed. So prior to the passage of the bill, UCOM, European Command, was kind of getting things ready on the border. And I suspect that as soon as the package was rolled out, it was already flowing. So the new artillery munitions and other things might already be in Ukrainian hands as we speak.
Bill, you have a question for John.
Yes, John, can these weapons systems, in the past, we've been told various weapons systems would be the weapon that'll help the Ukrainians win the war. That just didn't come to pass. Will these weapon systems make a significant difference, a limited difference, or no difference at all?
I think you're right to question so-called wonder weapons that, you know, folks say might be game, like TACMs, other things. I don't think that's ever the case. And certainly for this past package, you know, TACMs and things like that were in there, but the most important things from my perspective are air defense and artillery ammunition. Artillery is really crucial for both sides. It's kind of the Soviet legacy that rely much more so on artillery than we do here in the States or other NATO militaries do. And so a lot of Ukrainian guns have been falling silent because they had to ration artillery ammunition or their stocks were being depleted as U.S. Aid was not flowing. So that's really critical to help them sustain the war. It's not something that will necessarily turn the war back in their favor, but it is significant insofar as it keeps the Ukrainian defense a little bit more solid and hopefully repel Russian gains here in the next few months.
As you know, John, there's long been talk about the not just the weapon systems, but the range of the weapon systems. Is that still part of the conversation in Washington? We don't want to give them range because they'll reach into Russia?
That is still a concern. So we have sent the longer range version of ATACMs, including the version with the unitary warhead. This is something the Ukrainians have been asking for a long time. So that's finally gone. We sent other versions of ATACMs as well that have cluster munition warheads. They're especially useful for targeting things like air defense systems or helicopters, things like that. Ukrainians have used them to good effect. Again, they're not necessarily war winners, but they are a useful capability. To your question about targeting within Russia itself, yeah, the Biden administration is really wary of that, I think, for a few different reasons. One being fears of escalation, another specifically relating to Ukraine's targeting of Russian oil facilities. They're worried about the price of oil and prices that Americans pay at the pump, especially ahead of the election. So, I think that's Ukrainians have been very good about keeping their promise not to use U.S. weapons or weapons from, say, the French and British to strike within Ukraine. But they do use their own indigenously produced UAVs to prosecute those targets. And from my perspective, they have every right to do so. And as some of those strikes have been effective. If you saw just over the past weekend, a strike against a Russian airbase near the border. From which the Russians have been launching these glide bomb strikes into Ukraine, something that's been a big problem for Ukraine. So I expect the Ukrainians will continue that effort.
So this headline, Ukrainian drones struck oil refineries, those are Ukrainian-built drones? That's the way they're dealing with this mandate not to use U.S. stuff?
Exactly.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes, John, what is the average age of currently of the Ukrainian soldier that is in the field? And will Ukraine's new mobilization law address some of the problems or all of the problems Ukrainians are having with significant manpower problems? I'm reading report after report of units being half or to a third strength. Will this mobilization law, is it enough? And and will it do it in the amount of time the Ukrainians need to repel current and future Russian assaults?
Yeah, that's a great question. Manpower is a really crucial issue for Ukraine, arguably even a bigger issue than the shortage of artillery ammunition. As you mentioned, the issue is not just a shortage of manpower, although that is, I think, the most important thing, but also the age of soldiers. So the average age, to answer your question, is 40 plus. We don't know exactly, but it's in the 40s, which obviously is quite old. That's problematic for various reasons. Older men tend to have health issues. They are just not as often physically fit. So for things like assaults where you have to travel multiple kilometers by foot, or even just, getting into a position, if you're an artilleryman or if you're a drone crew operator, things like that can be difficult, where you have to, travel surreptitiously multiple kilometers on foot, not using vehicles because they're going to get spotted by drones or other things. That can be difficult if you're on the older side. And the Russians have a similar problem too, although I think with them, it's more of a mixed bag unit by unit in terms of age. So for Ukraine, as you said, they did pass this new mobilization law. One of the provisions there is they're lowering the age floor for mobilized recruits from 27 years old to 25 to kind of not just address the age issue, but expand the pool of manpower that they can mobilize. So that law is passed a couple weeks ago. It takes a month after passage to come into force. So within the next few weeks, they can start utilizing it. In addition to the age change, there's a variety of penalties as well as incentives to try to get the numbers up. We'll just have to see about how rigorously Ukraine implements those new authorities to try to address the manpower issue. But I think a key point we have to make is, whereas things like shell hunger can be fixed relatively quickly, like we can, Transcom here in the U.S. is pretty good at loading these pallets up and getting them into Ukraine within a matter of days, the manpower problem takes longer to solve because you have to not only mobilize the new people, but train them, form them into units. And so that takes time. So I think that the manpower issue for Ukraine will probably be a problem stretching into summer.
There is manpower in NATO. Is that entirely out of the conversation? Nobody even brings it up to put a regiment at Odessa?
In terms of NATO troops?
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I understand. Do they talk about it?
Well, Macron has been saying something. The French president has been saying some things. I don't think there's any serious appetite in NATO capitals for having NATO troops fight the Russians. We have a very small number of special operations forces behind the front lines, not fighting. Perhaps there'll be some sort of demining mission. I think that's something the French have said. Even that to me seems rather unlikely while the war is continuing.
Bill Rogo and I are speaking with John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Bill keeps the Long War Journal and John Post there for you to follow his reporting. I'm John Batchelor.